Each year at this time of the year in Catholic congregations throughout the United States, men and women just like you and me are asked to contribute and to contribute generously to the Fund for the Retirement of Religious, the Fund for the Retirement of Sisters and Brothers. For many, many years from the foundation of the Church in this country, sisters and brothers have served in a variety of ministries, and they were never paid. They were given a very small stipend, a stipend that barely allowed them to provide the daily necessities for themselves, much less put aside something for retirement. So this annual collection is really not an act of charity. It is fundamentally an act of justice. For what we are doing is we are paying the deferred compensation that these sisters and brothers have earned for generations of service to the Church. Each year over the past years, I've invited a sister or a brother to speak with us on this day, to share a reflection on the Scriptures, and then to offer us some thoughts about the need for the retirement fund for religious. And this year I've asked Sister Virginia, a school sister of Notre Dame and a member of this community, to share with us the Scriptures and her thoughts on the retirement fund. Please.
Good morning. Today's readings on this first Sunday of Advent focus our attention on the future. A future that we anticipate in faith and approach in confidence if we have been steadfast and attentive. In the first reading, the prophet Jeremiah shares with the people a message from God. The days are coming when I will fulfill my promise to send a Savior. Jeremiah emphasizes that the people have not been forgotten, and he encourages them to be steadfast, to keep faith. The Promised One will come from the lineage of David, and when he appears, all will be well. Through Jeremiah, God encourages the people to trust, to wait in hope, to believe. Words we will hear again and again during this Advent season. In the second reading, Paul delivers a similar message to the people of Thessalonica. Be steadfast. Try even harder to be blameless in holiness. Don't give up. Keep following the way that you have been taught. Keep your focus on the future when Christ will return in glory. And today's gospel from Luke is all about the future, specifically the end time. He describes the natural phenomena, extreme fright, and perplexing signs until at last Christ returns with great glory. Because we have no idea when the second coming will occur, we must be ready at all times. The Church sets aside the season of Advent each year so that we can turn our attention to that readiness. In all of today's readings, there is a common thread. If we have been vigilant and steadfast in our faith, we need not fear the future. If moment to moment we have been faithful in following Christ, we will be ready for whatever may come. Trials, tribulations, natural disasters, death, even the end of the world. The second reading also says, May the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all. So we continue to be encouraged to reach out to the poor, to the lonely, to the ill and mourning, to widows and widowers, to children, to all, even old nuns. For the past 18 years, the bishops of the United States have asked that all parishes reach out to assist the retired men and women religious in this country as they look to the future care of their membership. For many years, the schools, hospitals, orphanages, and various other ministries of the church, which were administered by men and women religious, were done with little compensation. Today, I come to you again, seeking your generosity to the religious communities throughout the United States. The School Sisters of Notre Dame are one of many communities who receive from this fund. How many of you have attended a Catholic grade school and had sisters for teachers? Would you raise your hand? That number is getting smaller. Many of you have received care in a hospital from sister nurses. Some may have been in a children's home operated by religious. And I hope you all have good memories of the men and women religious in your life. My family roots are in Washington State. When I left home in 1956 to enter the community of the School Sisters of Notre Dame, those were the days of the habit, I brought a trunk full of items that were on the list. The list included two pair of shoes, one of which I promptly ruined the second week when we went out to the fields to pick potatoes. But besides the items I brought along, my community educated me and took care of my basic needs, including health care. They also supported our retired sisters. In 1959, I began teaching in a boarding school in North Dakota, which was a 24-hour-a-day ministry. Each of us received the same stipend, whether you were the nun with a PhD, the principal, or a first-year teacher. That year, the annual stipend for each sister in the Bismarck Diocese was $588. That income supported the needs of 15 sisters in North Dakota, and the remainder of the income, up to 60% of that stipend, was sent into our provincial house for the other needs of the province, including retirement. Obviously, there wasn't much left over to put into savings for the future. Because of the vow of poverty, religious were excluded from Social Security until 1972. That year, Congress passed a law allowing religious communities to enroll their members. A formula was set, which was the same for all of our members, to be paid into Social Security. The benefits that we receive today are less than half the average of the Social Security benefit. The greatest challenge for religious, as it is for most Americans, is the rapidly increasing cost of health care and retirement. I speak today not only for my own community, but for all religious communities in the United States who are also in need of monies from this collection. The first year this collection was taken in the United States, it was the largest collection, and still is, that was ever taken for a request by the bishops. I believe that the parishioners knew for years that the religious men and women who served them were a little underpaid, and they were trying to say thank you. That's my message to you today also. I thank you for the goodness and kindness that have been shown to the School Sisters of Notre Dame since 1887, when we first began serving this parish. The people of this parish have been exceedingly good friends to the sisters and have been most generous in their kindness to us. 50 years ago, next year, you provided the most modern convent for us in the entire province. Everyone was glad to come here. For many years, the ladies had food showers and provided linens for the house on an annual basis. The men fixed everything that had to be fixed. They provided transportation when we couldn't drive, and even went to the grocery store for us. The pastor encouraged the diocese to provide a higher stipend for us. And today, you still provide a roof over our heads and show us kindness beyond measure. For all of this, we are truly grateful. Thank you for remembering all of the men and women religious who are in need and receive from this collection. May God reward you. This collection will be taken next weekend at all of the masses. An envelope is provided for you in the attachment in the bulletin today. Thank you again for your generosity.